Good afternoon and welcome to the HSR Nord Bank conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Ermisch, CFO, the moderator of this conference. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Stefan Ermisch speaking here. We're here together to discuss our 9 months results. We have something on our website for download, and I would like to refer to this piece of paper. I would like to jump to page 3 to outline key messages before going into the quantitative details. First of all, the core bank of HSA produced solid numbers in 9 months, 139 million euros pre-tax results or pre-tax profits. The new business got increased by 9% to 4.9 billion euros in a market where growth in new business is limited due to this low interest rate environment and this, let's say, sound positioning, especially of the German corporates. They don't need in these days too much credit, and increasing our volumes in this context is for us a good achievement. The total assets of the group declined by 11% to 116 billion euros, and in total we had to produce or had to announce a negative pre-tax result of 132 million euros because we have to account for high-risk provisions in our restructuring unit to cope with the crisis, especially in the shipping market, as announced and also as delivered. And we had to account for increased guarantee expenses for the legacy burdens in these portfolios. So both of these, the higher risk provisions and the higher guarantee costs, are planned and they have been announced and so far also declared here. Our capital position in these days is very strong. We have a hard or a core capital ratio according to Basel 2.5 of 16.7%. Or this is not the German old Kernkapital quota, it is the hardcore capital ratio of 16.7%. You know the structure with us here. We have this official number of 12% plus a buffer for the structure depending with the guarantors related to our portfolios. So altogether 16.7%. Our Basel III fully loaded capital ratio stays on today's projections at around 10%, which does already take into account the IFRS adjustments, although under supervisory law. You know that the German banks have to change local GAAP to IFRS also under supervisory regime, and does cope with higher guarantee fees and does cope with the higher or the negative results for year-end 2013. So everything together, we did try to forecast, let's say, in a proper way going forward, and our Basel III number at around 10%, I believe, is a pretty sound basis for the future development. We are with interest following the discussions in Spain, where in these days the local regulator and, I guess, government is trying to get hold of this deferred tax assets within the Basel III capital calculation. Our today's knowledge is that they are getting deducted over time fully under alongside, let's say, the time frame to 2019. Okay, if we would adopt the Spanish rules also here in Hamburg, our Basel III fully loaded ratio would stay much higher than even a good number of 10%. Liquidity in these days stays strong. Our liquidity coverage ratio is above 200%. You know that, you don't know, but the information is that we have to comply with this rule already officially with this Basel III ratio. Within the bank, others need to comply with this ratio in the next years. We have to because we had a ruling with the European Union some years ago. The net stable funding ratio, although the longer part of these ratios, is at around 90%. There's something still to do, but we are in line with others in this aspect. The comprehensive assessment of the ECB for sure is something we are focusing on. We are on the daily basis in discussions with the ECB. and with other, let's say, local parties engaged with this process. We are fine with our data integrity. So far, we could deliver everything which was needed and much faster than was demanded. And we will see how this process will develop further. We have a big project internally here set up to deal with this issue. As we can, let's say, due to this process today, we can say that our valuations of our balance sheet risks is conservative. To the 9 month results, page 5, the total revenues was up 14% to 1.16 billion euros. The loan provisions, loan loss provisions, stays at a very high level of 486 million euros after our guarantee structure. Information which is not on this page, but verbally here added to this slide, 70% of this risk provision is borne by the restructuring unit, our internal bad bank, and 30% is borne by the core bank of HSA. Our net income before restructuring is 165. It is down compared to last year, but please take into account, you will hear this in some slides later, previous year's numbers have been affected heavily by IFRS valuation effects. I will come to this in some minutes. So the qualitative earnings, let's say, trend was clearly upwards before restructuring in the first 9 months this year compared to the same period of last year. The core bank is 139, as discussed. This previous year's number of 304 is heavily affected by this one-off effect. And this alone, by the way, was over 400 million euros. Core Tier 1 ratio, I mentioned, is very strong in these days. To the page 6, you have this effect of the last year's numbers extracted here. In the second bullet point, you see that the interest income, the net interest income, is down by 36%, but the number of 2012 did, let's say, contain here 439 million euros revaluation of hybrid financial instruments. For German technical language here, this AG8 effect has to do with coupons and so on and so forth. We discussed this in big detail at the last year's annual conference. So adjusted of this effect, interest income was up despite the fact that volumes have come down. That does mean our margins are strong and positive and better than planned and better than last year. And therefore, we are pretty confident to be here on the right side in our most dominant income stream, which is for sure interest income. Commission income stays more or less unchanged. We still are, let's say, having a very slow business in rates in derivative businesses for customers, especially to on the rate protection side. The interest rate derivatives, we are pretty weak in these days because the low interest rate environment stays as it is and corporates are waiting for the time to go into protection for higher yields and rates, but obviously it was not in the first 9 months the right time for corporates to change their rate policy. Trading income and financial investment income is this year denominated by or clearly influenced by positive revaluations of old security portfolios of the past. This was already the trend after 6 months. This trend has continued in the third quarter. Both are not active traded positions. These are legacy positions which are simply getting revalued by stronger markets. The page 7 does show you the extract here or the composition of the bank, which for sure is our challenge. Yeah, we have the group, which is after 9 months on a non-adjusted basis at this 132 million euros loss. And you have the core bank and the restructuring unit. And what we would like to show with this slide is that the core bank does live and thus perform strongly and positive. We are getting new business, A, and we are producing good numbers in terms of economic output with our core bank. Our heavyweight here on the negative side is the restructuring unit, which is as it is. We have still €270 million, a loss situation in this strong unit or big unit of the bank underneath the umbrella of HSA today. So as long as we have this burden to cope with historical risk and legacy, it is for the core bank more or less impossible to fully compensate or overcompensate these, let's say, legacy components. On an adjusted basis, that does mean adjusted in terms of so-called one-off effects. Our result in the core bank was up from €107 million to €216 million, which is in line with our expectations, and by the way, would produce on an adjusted basis a core bank which has a 14% return on equity before tax. It is not a wonder bank, but for sure it's not a disaster. The new business, page 8, I think the numbers are self-declaring, plus 9% year over year. We expect also in the fourth quarter a, let's say, a similar trend as we did see this as we did report on this after 9 months. That does mean we will grow also in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter. We are pretty good in these days in corporate lending because we are catching up market share here, especially in the middle part of Germany and, by the way, also in the southern part of Germany, still maintaining our strong position in the northern part of Germany, our home base. Real estate is a little bit below the previous year's numbers, but we believe that the fourth quarter will maybe a little bit better than after 9 months. Infrastructure and energy in these days is a flattish year. We should not expect so much in the fourth quarter. And shipping, by the way, you cannot expect anything in these days despite risk provisions. The adjusted group net income before tax is, let's say, it's an offer. Every one of you guys are adjusting with your own methodology. We do try to adjust here always in the same way since I'm here in the bank since a year. And if we go from right to left, we will end up with a core adjusted income before tax of €260 million, which is in the core bank producing a return on equity of 14% on the basis of a cost-income ratio of 43. If you would maintain this long-term and sustainable and normalized, I think this core bank is very viable and would have a good chance to further succeed in the future. Risk provisions, page 10. Is also the picture you are familiar with. We have a pretty complicated structure with our risk provision because we have a guarantee structure behind, which other banks do not have, slash other banks do have more capital in cash, which we don't have, and we have therefore a bigger guarantee behind and less cash, and therefore we have a different structure to report on this also in our P&L. So what we have to do is we have the risk provisions which is borne by the bank, then we have a compensation effect, and we are coming to the net risk provisions in our P&L statement, which is in these days €486 million. Again, 70% is the restructuring unit of this. The guarantee is not materializing 100% as we wanted because we have two items which is diluting the guarantee mechanism. First is a part of the premium we have to cope and to book against the compensation effect. And we have this, let's say, old portfolio, security portfolio effect where we have revaluations on the positive side and our gross income here on our total revenues. We have to negatively count for €70 million, 71, because this is part of the guaranteed portfolios. Our non-performing loans on page 11 are somehow flattish on high level. We have 15.8 billion euros non-performing loans in the bank. Against this 15.8 billion euros, you see that 4 billion are coming from the core bank, close to 12 billion from the restructuring unit. You see also the components, the shares here between shipping and others. Against this 15.8 billion euros, we have on single risk provisions, as a stock of single risk provisions of 5.6 billion euros. We could add to this some general risk provisions, stock of general risk provisions, which we do not cope with in this context, because we're talking about non-performing loans, which are only covered by single risk provisions. General risk provisions are another 500 or 600 million euros on top of this. The rest, 10 billion euros, is our collateral, including our Basel II definitions and our cash flow expectations. So the non-performing side today is covered by 100% of risk coverage and collateral. The page 12, also something you are familiar with, is our guarantee structure. Again and again, we would like to point out that the treatment of our capital position is different from other banks. We have to pay back our state aid within our running P&L and in big time. That does mean we have already, this is the last bullet point on the right side, already over 3 billion euros, let's say, digested in our P&L, of which are 1.5 or 1.6 billion euros was cash out to the guarantors. In other words, 500 million euros was a capital increase. Again, this was a Schüttaushol zurück thing with our owners. And another billion euros is in our P&L reflected. That does mean this bank has already 3 billion euros paid back, in quotation marks, of a state guarantee, which we have received. And what we will receive or have received is what you see in this chart with this yellow boxes here, is in total 4.5 billion euros is the cash, is the equity equivalent we will have received as so-called, under European Union's understanding, as unjustified. Yeah, and this is what we have to deal with. And this 4.5 billion euros we are paying back as much as we can, up to the last cent until the next years, of which already 3 billion has been borne by the bank. What I would like to say is we don't pay the guarantee back when we can as a dividend after, let's say, the P&L. We pay it back as normal expense in terms of the guarantee provisions. This is completely different treatment compared to all other banks. And this mechanism, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, is incorporated in our capital projections. This is not something at surprise coming into the future. This is something we have dealt with our within our capital projections. The page 13 is our risk-weighted asset position and the capital ratios. We have today 37 billion euros risk-weighted assets. This is the only number which counts here, because this goes into the supervisory formula, producing this so-called 16.7% core capital ratio under Basel 2.5. And as we did already after half-year stage, we show you here the same slide. What we have then done is on page 14 to have a little bit of a look into the future. When we come on the left side on today's regime on Basel II, we will translate this to year-end 2013 into the Basel III world, again, which is including the loss forecast for this year and including the IFRS capital ratio calculation. The German banks need to change their gap regime from HGB to IFRS, also under supervisory law, at the year-end 2013 or 14. We have incorporated these effects already in our projection. So we will come, as when things go as expected, at around 12.5% Basel III phased-in capital ratio year-end 2013. And when we then even look further forward along the road with further Basel III transition effects, most of them are the deferred tax assets, we will come to today at around 10%, which is, in our belief, a pretty strong number and does include all the premium payments to our guarantors. Funding and liquidity stay strong in these days. We are fully matched in our new business, the new business funded at matching maturities, which was maybe not the case in the past in the bank, but we are much stronger today than in history. Therefore, I would like to come to the outlook on page 18 and 19. 18 gives you our view here on this ECB comprehensive assessment, which for sure does trigger our full concentration here within the bank. We know that we are in spot. We know that we are on focus because we have a pretty large shipping portfolio. This is not something we are shying away. We are openly handling this so-called challenge. The forbearance is a topic is a very, very complicated process in terms of definitions, because it is not the same as the foundations are not the same as denominated in the IFRS rules. But the largest part of our forborne loans is already reflected in our default portfolio. Yeah? So therefore, this is not coming on top of everything on the non-performing loans, but it is somehow reflected already in our non-performing loans and regulatory default portfolio. The direct EU sovereign exposures are very well manageable. I can give you some numbers here. The crisis countries, so-called those who may get whatever, stressed here from the ECB, for the Greece side, I give you now some countries. Greece, thereof sovereigns zero. Ireland, thereof sovereigns zero. Italy, sovereigns 600 million euros. Portugal, sovereigns 300 million euros. In Spain, at around 200 million euros sovereign exposure. So therefore, this is not a problem for us. And the rest, we will see what's going to happen. When we now focus here on this last box of this chart 18, today we understand that the stress test, which comes alongside with the asset quality review results, will set the hurdle at around 8% core tier 1 ratio based on Basel 3 phased in. This is what we have learned from the ECB so far. Sometimes it is changing from day to day, but this is our last information. If this is the case, we feel somehow very resilient with our today's capital position, with all these buffers and premiums, premium buffers we have incorporated in our capital structure. So therefore, on page 19, some remarks, how does it go further? We still forecast, this is the same forecast we gave already in our annual report 2012, it is the same forecast as we all communicated this on the half-year stage. We are reiterating this forecast. We're expecting a triple-digit million loss at group level at year-end. This is planned. It is incorporated in our capital protection, and as of today, we are better than our plan, but still negative. The improved capital ratios have laid a good basis to match with the regulatory changes. We see this, like here mentioned. The new business should even further grow in the fourth quarter, exceeding last year's volumes. And we expect, if things go right, to return to somewhat profitable profitability for next year. For sure, this is a challenge, but it is for everyone a challenge, and also for us and our plans as of today to signal here somehow some confidence. So this would be my brief run through the numbers and through the slides, and I'm happy to take some questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. For questions, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. For questions, please press star 1. Mr. Marcos Dirugo, may we have your question, please?
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I've got 5 short questions to ask. The first one is, are you going to do a buyback of subordinated securities Tier 1 and Tier 2?
Would like to first raise your question and write it down, or immediate answer?
I can ask all the 5 questions now.
Please. Mm-hmm.
The second one is, when will be totally completed the restructuring unit? And the third one is what will be the exposure in 2014 of shipping loans compared to your total assets, and also do you have any provision for 2015 and the next years? Number four is do you expect from 2014 onwards to be permanently in profit, or do you expect some bad surprises in the next years? And the last one is, are you going to do any senior uncovered emission? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marco. I try to give you short answers here. The buyback side, if we would decide this alone, for sure we would like to. There should be no miracle, because it is valuable money there for us, yeah, for our capital position, but we cannot in these days decide this ourselves. This is depending the decisions with the European Union and the German supervisor, and therefore we do not plan this in the medium term, because first of all we need to go through our state 8 case ruling next year, and we simply need to ask for some more time, yeah, and therefore a negative answer. The restructuring unit outline, you know that our segment, or let's say the asset in the division, is around 47 billion euros. This is around 30 billion euros in real loans and around 6 billion euros in securities. We try to bring this down to below 38 billion euros year-end 2014. And if we are able to, we would like to even further wind it down to a lower level. We have not yet internally finalized all last projections on this strategy, because it will be part of the negotiations with the European Union. The shipping side, we had a target that our core bank will not take more than 15 billion euros in shipping. This was an old target born in 2011, and we are in the core bank at around 14.8 billion euros as we speak today. That does mean we have already, let's say, in quotation marks, delivered in this target to the European Union. But there's not a miracle. Markets have changed totally. Outlooks have changed for the shipping industry. And I will not say that this is the last word. We are working next year to define there even more conservative strategy on the shipping side. And my personal expectation is that we will have a lower number as target volume than 15 billion euros long term. 2014, the profitability, it's clear. If we say return to profitability, this will in 2014 be for sure not a strong profitability. There's no doubt, because we are still in a phase of heavy restructuring, and we are in the middle of this ECB process and so on and so forth. But our internal projections do tell us that our core bank is performing well also next year, that our risk provisions after two disastrous years in 2012 and 2013 have a good chance to come down next year heavily, because we have done so much in order to cope with the crisis. We want not to run after the crisis, but we would like to front-run the crisis as much as we can. So this is our expectation, that this is coming down. So at the end of the day, we are expecting profitable numbers, but this is for sure not a normalized profitability. We are looking long term. And the fifth, what was the fifth question?
Are you going to do any senior uncovered emission?
Domestically, yes. Internationally, not yet.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is coming from Jackie Ineke. May we have your question, please?
Hello. Could I ask about your hybrid instruments, just in terms of if you can give us any new guidance on when you may be paying the coupons again on those? Thank you.
This is not a new statement here from my side. We had this already in the annual account 2012 releases. 2017, we are expecting to pay coupon again. Is that right? 17, right.
Great, so no change.
No change.
Thanks. Oh, and sorry, could I ask a second question? Just you mentioned the EU negotiations that you're going through. Do you have, again, any updated information on when you expect those to come to a conclusion?
This is, I think, a more or less a very tricky question because I'm not the one at the end of the day who is deciding this. That does mean it is the European Union is deciding this. Yeah, so we are discussing this the case with them. My personal expectation, but this is my expectation, this has nothing to do with the official European view, is that they will try to link their decision with the ECB assessment process. That does mean our internal projection is that we will. It is more likely to see an EU decision in the course of the second half year of 2014 than in the first half year of 2014.
Okay, so that may well be even October if it comes out at the time. Okay, thank
you. Over a thump, yeah? So this is our today's view.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Samir Patel, may we have your question, please?
Just two questions. On this, the accumulated losses thus far between April 2009 and now, what is the actual loss under the first loss piece, and then what's the change quarter on quarter? And then the second question is more kind of more, you know, general approach, where you obviously have been engaged with projects like Nabios for a little while now. How is that going? And have you got more of those of those planned in the future?
Okay, I'll try. If I understand you, you would like to ask the question how much of this first loss piece is already booked out. It is 750 million euros. This is the real loss we had already, to account for. Again, with no damage for the P&L because it is already risk provisioned, if this was the question. 750 from 3.2 billion. It is somewhere here in this slide. Hold on a second. So on the page 12 of this 3.2 billion euros, yeah, there the number is fallen out here. It's 750 million euros. Yeah, it's actual losses accrued from this 3.2.
Yeah, so, okay, fine. What's that quarter-on-quarter increase?
Slight increase. I have not the number from the half year. I think it was 550 or 600 or so.
Yeah, yeah? Okay. Okay, thanks.
Not a big ground. And on the Navios side, we have finalized the structure. We're working on the implementation as scheduled. There are a lot of talks in the market with other structures, additional structures, but we will communicate them if we are ready and will not front-run this. Yeah?
Okay, and then the final question is, on the first question that was asked about potential buyback at Tier 1, lower Tier 2, obviously the EC has a very proactive say-so in whether this happens or not, and obviously you've got the AQR overhanging you guys, albeit you're well prepared for it, you say, but given the fact that you've gone below the 120 billion total asset mark deadline, which is next year, does that give you in any way some more leverage to enact a more LME or not?
It's difficult. It does mean there are different viewpoints. We would like to, there's no doubt, because it's value for us, yeah, and for our shareholders at the end of the day. But as of today, we have to expect to respect, yeah, that the European Union will, at the end of the day, will have to give green lights on this. And my personal expectation is that as long as we have a discussion pending with them, we have to wait. That does mean also this question of potential buybacks or capital structure deals, we need to take another breath of 12 months.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mrs. Corinne Cunningham, may we have your question, please?
Hi there. I think most of my questions have been answered already. One more small one. You mentioned that most forborne loans are already in the non-performing loans. What proportion would that be?
We have now, let's say, many different definitions. Yeah? That does mean the non-performing loans, as they are defined, as those non-performing loans who have a provision against and are overdue over 90 days. Yeah? This is the official definition of non-performing loans. This is the 15.8 billion euros. That does mean on top of this, we have a supervisory law-related default definition. There are also those loans in who may be of better rating categories but have an a slightly, let's say, overdue or close to the 90 days barrier. This is another 4 billion euros for us, which has no stock of provisions because they are solid loans, but the characteristica do, let's say, force us to have this as a default definition. And within this 4 billion euros, we have a large proportion of these forborne loans incorporated.
Thank you. The next question is coming from Mr. Jonathan Reuter. May we have your question, please?
Hey, thanks for taking my question. Curious about the compensation effect in this quarter specifically. You mentioned it was because of some gains, I think, in the CIP portfolio, but in general, when I'm just doing the math, trying to strip out what was the compensation effect for, you know, the first half of the year and then comparing it to the 9 months, it looks particularly low, like this could be 7 million euro or something like that. Is that, can you just maybe talk a little more about what was going on this quarter?
Yeah, I think this compensation structure is, I understand this, and I have patience with you here on this side. It is really difficult to, let's say, to follow this structurally, especially when you are on the analyst side and plugging this into a spreadsheet, because it's so unique. We have, in general terms, as long as we have a secured portfolio under this senior tranche of the guarantee, this is covered by the guarantee. Yeah? This is the logic of the guarantee. But the effectiveness of this compensation is always limited by the additional premium we have to cope with. Yeah, that does mean the 3.85%. This in these days was 165 million euros after 9 months. I have not the the 6 months numbers here in place, but our investor relations guys they can tell you this in detail. And as a specific thing, which is even more confusing everyone, is that we have this security portfolio, the CIP, which produced revenues in our trading and financial investment income line. And because they also covered by the guarantee structure, we have the reverse process, that we have on one side the positive revenues and on the other side we need to negatively compensate in this compensation effect. And this is tearing down another 70 million euros for this quarter. So if we, under the assumption we would have no security portfolio in our bank, this 70 million euros would not exist. If you now ask me, does it make sense to have this compensation in our risk provision, Jonathan, I think we would both agree this does not make any sense, but we are forced to report these things as we do. It's not something we would like to report the way, but we are forced to do this, yeah? By our auditors and by other, let's say, by the supervisory authorities. So, and is right, the compensation effect today in the first 9 months was relatively low compared to the existence of the guarantee, but as the nature of the things which are there, we could not change this.
Got it. Well, is there a way that I can then think about for next year, you know, thinking about the overall profitability of the bank, is there going to be a higher amount of your projected provisions pre-compensation that are actually going to be offset by the compensation amount, or kind of what goes into the profitability for the full year on that front?
I think that we expect for sure lower risk provisions on the gross level. That does mean the gross risk provisions, they need to come down next year because we have done so much in the last 2 years. Also, the net risk provisions before the guarantee will go down, and the predominant part of our risk provisions will be borne and will be booked in the restructuring unit. And if this is the case, these risk provisions are somehow compensated by the guarantee and should therefore, ceteris paribus, produce much lower P&L effects on the negative side compared to 2012 and 13. It's forecast. Yeah, things may change, yeah, but this is what we, from the structure, we would see next year. Revenues should go up next year, as they do this year as well, and costs are under control. That does mean on a basis of a more or less, I would not say sound, but relatively sound cost-income ratio, We are a bank in restructuring. We are not a perfect bank, but the status as which we are in today, a cost-income ratio of below 50% is not bad, and lower risk provisions should in total produce a small profit.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, when I look at for the year, for instance, the first 9 months, I mean, it looks like the compensation effect has been $278 million, but the amount that's gone out the door in expenses for the government guarantee has been $279.
Yes.
And part of that is because of the replenishment, you know, that your catch-up payments on the increase of the guarantee back to $10 billion. But can you refresh? It's not just an equal amount of payments per quarter. So for 2014, what's the amount of that remaining replenishment payment that you expect to make?
The amount of, let's say, this backward-looking adjustment number is around 70 million euros on an annual basis, plus the full amount on the premiums for the full year. That does mean next year will be a very heavy guarantee expense, very heavy.
So it would be, okay, got it. Okay, well, those are my questions. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Otto Dichtel, may we have your question, please?
Yes, hello. Two questions, please. One is the guaranteed amounts. Could you share with us the size of the asset portfolio that is protected at the end of the third quarter? And I guess my second question was also related to the cost of the guarantee that we should expect going forward. Is that, I mean, again, just to, could you clarify if there are any exceptional costs left? I'm not sure I caught that fully.
Additionally, the so-called senior tranche still existing in the bank is around 75 billion euros out of my mind, which protects the balance sheet, 75. And the premiums, you have to see, the 10 billion euros is producing fees of around 400 million euros on an annual basis. And then we have to take into account this backward-looking or fees, where we treat the guarantee as we would have never reduced it. And this is another 70 or 75 on an annual basis. Yeah, so it does mean next year something close to 500 million euros will be the guarantee payment.
Thank you.
This is then going down with the expectation that we will reduce the guarantee in the next years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
For further questions, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone.
Okay, I think obviously we are more or less through. I also need to go to another internal meeting. So many thanks for your attendance and for your questions. If something is left open, please give us a call into the investor relations channels. They will be delighted to help you. Yeah, many thanks. All the best. Ciao.
We want to thank Mr. Ermisch and all the participants of this conference. Thank you and goodbye.